Morning, everybody. Welcome to Senate Finance. I'm sorry for the delay, as this is down at the end of the session. Things get delayed. It's 10:55 with me today, or 10:55, April 18th, 2009, with me today is my co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, Senator Thomas, and myself, Senator Stedman. We have five items today to bring up. We're going to start with House Bill 105, STEP program. We're going to go on to House Bill 141, Compact for Juveniles Interstate Council. House Bill 121, Municipal Air Quality Property Tax Credit. That's House Bill 121. House Bill 106, Village Public Safety Officers, and conclude the first part of the 26th session with Senate Bill 108, a presentation, Stampede State Recreation Area. We're going to start today, House Bill 105. This is the first hearing on the bill. The intent today is to introduce the bill, take public testimony, and see if there's concerns from committee members, and look to the committee. This today is representative from Representative Coghill's office, has been here many times and knows the drill. So if she can go ahead and introduce herself for the record and who she represents and walk us through the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Reneva Moss, legislative staff for Representative Coghill. Mr. Chairman, almost exactly a year ago today, I sat here with House Bill 226, which was a bill addressing a sunset of the STEP program. And through the direction of this committee, Department of Labor appointed a task force of all the players involved with the STEP program, including private employers, to come together and figure out how to make STEP more accountable and fairer and more user-friendly. And they have spent this last interim doing exactly that. House Bill 105 is the result of the recommendations from the task force. Basically, it attempts to take the politics out of the STEP program. It empowers the Alaska Workforce Investment Board to not only score and be involved in the decisions of who gets grants, but also will be involved in promulgating the regulations that improve the program, including a process to create an appeal process for people who have been denied STEP grants. It also puts some added qualifications for people. Currently under the system, you have to be unemployed or you have to be likely to be displaced within 6 months. This would eliminate the six-month restriction so that anyone who's likely to be displaced would qualify. It also adds requirements for qualification, including putting in statute that you must be an Alaskan resident to receive training under the STEP program. Mr. Chairman, I think what I'll do now, that pretty much covers what the bill does. I'll have David Stone with Department of Labor discuss the task force and the process they went through.
Mr. Stone, if you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am David Stone. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. I'm also the co-chair of the STEP Task Force. I'm also on the Workforce Investment Board. And Ms. Moss is adequately described this bill. It was unanimously supported by the task force, this bill. What we'd like to do is make it permanent. We'd like to make it more streamlined. We'd like to have the Workforce Investment Board oversee it to take out the politics. We believe it is the most successful training program we've ever had in the history of this state. It's been around for 20 years, and we believe the time is right. Mr. Chairman, it is a great program, and what we'd like to do is to have the task force oversee developing the regulations, and the Workforce Investment Board, once they're promulgated, would approve those regulations. Right now, the Workforce Investment Board oversees the grant applications, and we just think that this is a win-win, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have any, then the department supports the bill?
Yes, sir.
Do we have any questions from the committee members? availability for non-Alaskans that just happen to migrate up here. Can you give us a 30-second blast on that, please?
Oh.
I can address that, Mr. Chairman. You would have to be in the state 92 days to qualify for the STEP program.
Any other questions? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. And Ms. Moss, you mentioned something about repeat training that was limited to residents or non-residents, as you said earlier, as I recall.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, in and I could find that section, under Section 6, we add a requirement that they must be an Alaskan resident. There are several definitions for an Alaskan resident. One would be you have to be here for 30 days to register to vote. Because you have to have contributed to the unemployment insurance program in Alaska, a person would have to be here at least 92 days before they would ever qualify for the STEP program.
Thank you.
Could you help us on top of page 8, line 1? Talks about the overhead allowance of 20%.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Could you address that, please, if that's why that appears to be
Mr.
to
Chairman,
some high? Go ahead.
This sets a limit to how much the department can use for administrative purposes under the STEP program. They could use no more than 20% for administrative purposes. The rest would have to go directly to grant programs.
Thank you. Any other questions before we go to the offline? We have an off-net. We'll ask the participants to try to keep their testimony to a couple minutes or less so we can move through our bill schedule today. I'd appreciate that. And we'll start with Mr. Doug Ward. Mr. Ward, if you can identify yourself and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Doug Ward, and I'm the Director of Shipyard Development for Alaska Ship and Dry Dock, an Alaska corporation operating the Ketchikan Shipyard under a 30-year agreement with the Alaska Industrial Development Authority. I also sit on the Alaska Workforce Investment Board, and I chair the Workforce Readiness and Employment Replacement Committee. I'm also a member of the STEP Task Force. I also sit on the National Shipbuilding Research Program Crosscut Initiatives Panel. And that group is considering the United States domestic shipbuilding workforce and ways to make it globally competitive. So, as you consider House Bill 105, I'd like you to keep in mind that this bill provides the statutory authority that both the Workforce Investment Board and the Task Force will need to provide effective oversight of not only the STEP program, but the state's workforce investment resources. An important feature to note about this bill is that it really is focused on developing careers for Alaskans and not just jobs. So we do, Alaska Ship and Dry Dock is a STEP grant recipient. We are using it to train Alaskans for the complex jobs of building and repairing ships in Alaska and reducing the costs of operating those ships and ferries in the state. The Workforce Investment Board was unanimous in its support for the language that you see in front of you, and I would ask that you pass this bill today so that we, the Alaska Workforce Investment Board and the STEP Task Force, can get on to the important and crucial work that's required to streamline the STEP program to efficiently produce productive careers for Alaskans. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony today, Mr. Ward. In the House here, Don Etheridge. There are two fiscal notes from the Department of Labor totaling $6,405,000 in STEP funds. There are also no additional costs anticipated as a result of passing the legislation. The funding for the program is currently in the FY10 operating budget. Mr. Etheridge, could you identify yourself and speak to the bill, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don Etheridge, I'm here on the behalf of the Alaska Workforce Partnership and also with the Alaska AFL-CIO, and both of these entities are very supportive of this piece of legislation. We used these funds to do a lot of extensive training out into the rural areas of Alaska, and it's really important for us to be able to use those funds to get instructors out there, also to bring folks into the larger training facilities in order to get training out there. And I'll stop at that.
You support the bill.
And we support the bill.
Okay, thank you. May we have the bill sponsor back, please? Do you have any final questions for the bill sponsor? Any closing comments from the bill sponsor?
No, Mr. Chairman, I just would like to stress that this, the existing STEP program does sunset July 1st of 2010. However, there is a long road in front of them adopting regulations to change the program to make it more accountable, more user-friendly, and separate the politics from the goal of this program, and that's to make sure that Alaskans get training. I think that in this time in Alaska's history, it's important that we have the best training programs available, because eventually we will get a gas line, and we need to have the workforce prepared for that.
Senator Hoffman.
For a motion?
Motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill 105, Labor and Commerce, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations. Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee or referral.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome. Next item, House Bill 141, Compact for Juvenile Interstate Council. This is the first hearing on the bill. The intent here is to introduce the bill, take public testimony, have some input from the committee members, and find out their will. With us today is a representative of the bill sponsor, Representative Coghill. If you could introduce yourself and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
My name is Amanda Mortensen, staff for Representative Coghill. House Bill 141 would enact the new Interstate Compact for Juveniles into law. This would replace the old compact, which was created in 1955. The purpose of the new compact is to ensure the supervision of juvenile offenders and the return of runaways, escapees, and absconders. The compact provides the procedural means to regulate the movement of juveniles who are under court supervision across state lines. The Association of Compact Administrators estimates that the Interstate Compact on Juveniles is used in 20 to 30,000 transfer and supervision cases annually. The new compact would ensure that all states will have identical language in their statutes, which helps with compliance issues. The Interstate Compact for Juveniles also provides for the collection of standardized information and information sharing systems. This is a chance for the states to have the means to deal with state problems and enforce state solutions without having any federal intervention. 36 states have already passed this compact, and if Alaska chooses not to enact this compact, the state would have to deal with every other state on a case-by-case basis. This compact provides for the safety of the juvenile offender and the state as a whole. This legislation is necessary to ensure the public safety and security of Alaskans. I have Tony Newman with me also.
Mr. Newman, if you can identify yourself for the record and who you represent, please, and speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Tony Newman. I'm with the Department of Health and Social Services Division of Juvenile Justice. Our division is the agency responsible for overseeing the administration of the current Interstate Compact on Juveniles. And so we have a particular interest in this bill. Well, we support this bill and are so grateful that you're taking the time to hear this bill today. Passage of this bill would ensure that Alaska's management of juveniles who travel in and out of state will proceed smoothly as this new interstate compact goes into effect nationally later this year. And we're grateful to Amanda Mortensen and the staff and Representative Coghill's office for working with us to bring this bill before you. By passing this bill, you would ensure that the staff of the Division of Juvenile Justice avoid costly and inefficient work. As Ms. Mortensen said, well, without the compact, later this year, Alaska would be in the challenging position of having to develop agreements specific to each case every time we seek for a youth under our supervision to travel to another state and receive supervision there. With the compact in place, we'll have a guiding agreement with the 36 states that have already passed the compact and the others that are currently working with legislation right now to pass it. But more importantly, we'll ensure that juveniles, including juveniles who've committed some serious, dangerous offenses, are accounted for and that they get the supervision they need when they leave or enter Alaska. So to summarize in one sentence, this is an important bill to help the division manage these juveniles effectively and to help ensure public safety in Alaska.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions, initial questions for the department or the bill sponsor? Seeing none, we're going to go to the off-net. I'd like to keep the testimony to a couple minutes or less as the clock is ticking for us to address other bills. Carol Brenkel,
yes.
Please.
Carol Brenkel, can you hear me?
Yes, if you can identify yourself for the record, who you represent, and speak to the bill, please.
My name is Carol Brenkel. I'm an attorney in Kenai, Alaska, and I am also chair of the Alaska Juvenile Justice Advisory Committee. As you know, AJAC is an advisory board of citizens appointed by the governor, and we advise the legislature as well as the governor and citizens of Alaska. I will tell you that at our March meeting in Juneau, we reviewed this bill and the importance of this bill and voted unanimously to support its passage. And I would also like to echo Mr. Newman's appreciation to you as a committee for hearing this bill. It is important that it be passed this session. Delay could be costly to the state of Alaska. And, you know, as an attorney, I always like to get my hand in the mix. And what is happening now is other states who have passed this bill are in there right now developing rules and regulations to accompany this compact, and it's important that we get our two cents in as Alaskans because of our unique situation here. So again, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak and urge you to put it out of committee. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Tony Newman. Excuse me, right there in front of me. Any other questions from the committee members? Senator Hoffman. Wait, just one quick thing I want to. There's a zero fiscal note for the Department of Commerce, and there's one fiscal note from the Department of Health and Social Services for $45,000 in GF general funds. The funding for this note is scheduled in the supplemental budget for which will be up later today. Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out House Bill 141 with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations. We have objection. Seeing none, we will move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral. Next item up is House Bill 121, Municipal Air Quality Property Tax. This is the second hearing on this bill. We heard it for the first time the 16th of April. At that meeting, we adopted a committee substitute, took public testimony, and held a bill for further review. The intent today is to go back to the House version of the bill and look to the committee. Again, this is the intent is to look to go back to the House version. Senator Hoffman, may we have a motion for adoption of version C?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt, the committee adopt CS for House Bill 121 Finance /C as a working document.
Okay, we have a motion to adopt version C as our working document. Do we have objection? Seeing none, we have C as our working document, and we have a representation from the bill sponsor. You'd like to make a couple of brief comments?
Thank you. For the record, my name is Karen Lidster, and I am staff to Representative John Coghill. The version that has just been passed brings the ability for municipalities that have within their boundaries areas that fail to meet the 2.5 air quality standards, and we appreciate the opportunity to help these communities meet the EPA standards and with this with this bill, and so thank you for your consideration.
Do we have any further questions for the bill sponsor? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I could not hear very well. This is version Tango, that was it?
C.
C is in Charlie.
C, Cat.
Cat, okay.
The original House.
If you could just give us a brief rundown on the bill, who qualifies, what the issue, main issue is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill will specifically relate to those municipalities that have within their area areas that do not meet the attainment quality for the 2.5 PM, which is a very small particulate, and relates specifically to the Fairbanks North Star Borough and Juneau at this particular time. It will allow the municipalities to pass ordinances and establish the criteria for those improvements in their heating for a credit to their tax and be administered at the local level, which we believe that that would be at best, as they know what their specific issues are. It does have a repeal date of 2016, which is at the time that the EPA standard must be met would be 2015, so it goes to January 1, 2016.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we anticipate in the interior that this will have an impact on the coal burning and the wood stoves to allow people to upgrade those to more current ones by having an offset on their taxes and getting rid of the barrel stoves that in some cases are operated in Fairbanks. Is that
through the chair, Senator Thomas, that is exactly where we're trying to make it a carrot with the tax credit rather than something that is prohibitive.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Will of the committee?
Can we have a brief at ease?
Brief at ease. Back on the record, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House Bill 121 Finance with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
And we have a motion to move the bill from committee version C, attach fiscal notes and individual recommendations. Do we have attach fiscal note and individual recommendations? Do we have objection? Seeing no objection, we'll move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. House Bill 106, next item up, Village Public Safety Officers. This is the first hearing on this bill. The intent today is to introduce the bill, take public testimony, and check for concerns and look to the will of the committee, depending on what we find through the presentation. We have with us today Representative Jewell, the bill sponsor. Representative Jewell, if you could walk us through the bill and tell us what this does, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Representative Reggie Jewell for House District 40. Under current law, the Commissioner of Public Safety provides grants to regional nonprofits to administer the VPSO program. And we've had a situation in Northwest Alaska where we have a borough where the regional nonprofit wanted to transfer the VPSO program to the borough but was unable to do that. And the borough was willing to take that up.
Representative Jewell, if you could, for those watching at home that aren't as familiar with all the lingo, in acronyms, could you define what a VPSO is?
A VPSO, Mr. Chairman, thank you for reminding me that we do speak in code around here, is a village public safety officer.
Okay, thank you. And continue.
And so, as I was saying, Mr. Chairman, the borough, Northwest Arctic Borough in this case, is willing to take up the VPSO program, and the regional nonprofit is willing to let the borough do this. And what this bill would allow is for the Commissioner of Public Safety, if a regional nonprofit declines the grant, then the commissioner may enter into talks or can permit a grant to go to a municipality. And that term would also cover borough, but a class of city or whatever that might be available there. And that's essentially what this bill does. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Jewell, could you tell us on line 8, page 2, there's a reference to a population threshold. Could you explain that to the committee, please, and where that came from?
At this point, I will call on Christine Hess from my office to help out in this section. Page 2, line 8?
No.
Where were we?
Yeah, page 2, line 8, population of 10,000 or less.
Oh, yes.
Through the chair, my name is Christine Hess, and I'm Chief of Staff with Representative Jewell. We worked with the Department of Public Safety and the legal department to come up with that population number, because the Village Public Safety Officer Program is really for rural areas of the state, and this will keep the program within the right scope.
Okay. 10,000, that includes Sitka. And I think Ketchikan's over the threshold, the borough, just to give people a reference size. The community, I think Kodiak would then fall under it, under 10,000.
Yes.
Bethel.
We through the chair, we did check to make sure that nobody that is currently in the program would now be excluded with the limit.
Okay. I mean, we have 1-0 fiscal note from the Department of Public Safety. Anybody online? Sign-up sheets? We have nobody on the sign-up sheet for public testimony. Anybody in the audience want to come forward? Committee members' questions? Concerns? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, for Representative Jewell. Roughly how many communities would be affected?
In the Northwest Arctic Borough would be 10. Kotzebue, the city of Kotzebue, has its own police department and would not be part of this. So it would be the other 10 villages that are covered by the Northwest Arctic Borough.
Thank you.
And Representative Jewell, if you go south, because we certainly can't go north, if you go south from there, can you give us an idea of the distribution of the VPSOs around the state, including southeast?
I'm unsure of exactly where they're placed. I think the last number I heard in terms of VPSOs that was probably in the 80 number of out of the 200 villages, but I don't have that number off the top of my. Hang on, Christine does.
Through the chair, if you look in your packets toward the back, I believe there's a map, and it has.
Thank you.
The headquarters and posts for the detachments looks like this. Nope.
Oh, yeah. We don't have that.
We don't have a map. But we've got the state memorized. If you can explain it, kind of. We got her memorized here to lay out.
You have Haines, Juneau, Klawock, Ketchikan, Petersburg, Glen Ellen.
But okay. Juneau doesn't have a VPSO. I'm just curious where they are. I don't think Juneau has a VPSO. I think there's some on Prince of Wales, possibly.
Ketchikan.
Yeah,
there's one in
Ketchikan
and Haines. Yeah, that's the headquarters. Sorry about that.
Or you could get back to the committee with kind of a breakdown of where they're at, because it's an issue, a VPSO issue that comes up from time to time. And I know we've struggled with trying to re-energize the VPSO program the last couple of years, and I think we've been successful at that.
We can do that.
We have a list to include, Mr. Chairman, thank you. There's a list of active VPSO by village that's in, that should be in your packet. If it isn't, we can make sure that's distributed. Okay.
We have any further questions, concerns?
No.
Motion?
Excuse me.
Well, the committee, I should say.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Finance Committee pass out CS for House Bill 106, State Affairs Title Amendment, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Here we have a motion to move the bill from committee with attached fiscal note, which is zero, and individual recommendations. Do we have objection? Seeing no, we will go ahead and move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral. We will be at ease.
Thank you, Mr.
To the call of the chair, we'll reconvene most likely in the afternoon and continue to work on the supplemental budget. Bill number 113. And then we'll also have a presentation by Senator Thomas dealing with the Senate Bill 108, Stampede State Recreation Area. Until then, we're at ease. Thank you.